This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. So we got our shit together and we're going back to two shows a week, huh? Nice. Now I'm sure all the listeners will just sit back and enjoy themselves and just quit their bitching. But the one thing that we could have gone without hearing is Petey's little cunnilingus joke at the end of the show. I mean, Petey, it was like you were possessed by the ghost of Dice Clay. I mean, yeah, I know that fucking guy ain't dead, but he and that joke you told both should be. You're better than that kid. Later.
Hey, hold on one second. Excuse me, this is DJ Lou. The guys usually make a little plan before the show. You know, map out what they want to talk about, what topics they want to hit. I usually cut that part out, but today I left it in. So this behind-the-scenes moment was brought to you by White Cloud Electronic Cigarettes. Enjoy.
Sup. One of a kind, man. One of a kind.
That's it.
What's going on? Anything to say before we start?
What do you got?
Nothing except, somebody tweeted. Did you see we got to 162?
I saw that. Maybe it's better off we don't do this shit.
That's you know, I was one thing I was going to bring up. Listen, I got to be honest with you about something that I'm not telling anybody, but we're good friends. It's part embarrassing, part necessary, part everything. But between you and me, you know what I'm doing? Fucking, I don't want the listeners to know. I leave Saturday. Back on the boat. There's a few gaps to fill in, though, I'll tell you. But yeah.
Wait. This is prime.
This is, I know. Well, but the problem is, I'm not going for a month, I'm only going for 2 weeks. But I felt like last time it slowed us down a little bit and got in everybody's head. So I'd rather just not tell the listeners this time. I don't want them to go, oh, they're on the boat. Fuck the next four episodes.
Oh, when you were on the boat, that's when the show was at its all-time high because we had to meet twice a week.
Well, oh man, I can't talk about this on the air. I'm too embarrassed, man.
Embarrassed? They're gonna know we're doing it from the boat anyway. You can't hide the boat for 2 weeks.
What do you mean? If I could say we're gonna keep going once a week, we both got some commitments, and then starting in May, we're gonna go back to two a week.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is when we do the cast from the ship, you got to talk about being on the ship again. What are you going to do, not say nothing?
I'll talk about other stuff.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, come on. This is good shit. Come on. We need shit to talk about, man.
Oh, God, fucking, you could do another guacamole dish, another Chef Sebastian with the avocado.
What the? Come on. Stop. Come on.
I got to think about this for a second, man.
There's no way I could do a cast with you knowing you're fucking docked and going for and hiding shit under rocks again. There's just no way I could fake that.
All right. Hold on a sec. I got to get a third opinion. Jack! He's all over me to bring up that I'm on the boat because it's going to be too funny and all that shit. Should I or not?
What's your fear?
I'm afraid that they're going to call me a boat acting shit.
I
you wouldn't worry about it? I mean, I just was out in L.A. making shit. All right, fuck that. All right. Hey, Sadie. All right, dude.
This is good. Let's start this up. Come on, now. We're losing fucking great talk time here.
Well, you know, I got to be honest with you too, man. This, you sound crystal clear, and I imagine I do. I've had this recorded on the Skype since go, so we got this shit.
Oh, nice.
So this is for the listeners. This is, if you ever want the inside tip, we'll play this part first. This is what led up to me admitting I'm going back on the boat.
Okay, right. Let's sync it up here.
All right, hold on. Don't act so excited, by the way, bro.
Well, come on. This is cool. We can get into this.
All right, Pete and Sebastian show. We're back. They've already heard the beginning at this point. So, what's up with you? We'll get into that. That's where I'm at. What's up? How you doing, brother?
I don't know, man. Just trying to shake this cold, man. I think there's a new or a different virus in the United States.
Jackie was like, we were having dinner, and she's like, "So, what do you think you're gonna get into first?" Blah blah. I go, "Well, first he'll tell us about his latest ailment." And if he's sore or sick, and then we'll move on from there. Sure enough, we start the show. You're like, I got a cold. I just won't quit.
I don't even know. I don't even remember the last time we did a cast. Did I tell you about, Jesus, when is the last time we did a cast?
We tried to do one Sunday, but I had the worst reception, so we had to shut it down.
Yeah, we tried Sunday, but did I do a cast telling you that I told Lana we got to work on the sickness and then health vows?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So we're past that.
Do you do another cast under a fake name that no one knows?
You would think so.
I would.
You would think so.
I would. Did I do this with that guy or the other guy?
I don't know. You would think I'm doing multiple casts. How I don't remember what the hell I said. So yeah, I'm still trying to shake off the cough. I got Godfather 2 on pause because I'm picking that up right after the cast. Cannot stop watching that. I'm sorry. Good to be back in Los Angeles. I'll tell you that right now. After a 3.5 week run out and about in the East Coast, I went to Lana's art show, which was a huge success out in Naples, Florida. She sold a couple pieces and has definite interest in other clients for commissions and whatnot. So that was great. Went to the art show and it was nice to be on the other side, I got to admit. Because, you know, Lana comes to a lot of my shows. She sits there. She watches it. She watches the meet and greet. She helps out when she can in regards to maybe selling some T-shirts and DVDs. And it was so nice to not be the one doing all that stuff. It was a good role for me, in a supporting role, just to talk, chit-chat, talk about my wife's art to people. And I'd like to do that a little bit more often, because sometimes I feel it kind of gears heavy on my career, and it's nice to see my wife excelling in her career and be able to support that. So, because, you know, listen, man, comedians, and I'm sure you deal with this too in your home, you know, your wife's got to listen to the ups, the downs. Yeah. Is this funny? Is that funny? It could get monotonous.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times she's like, our whole life revolves around your career, our whole life. So, you know, and anything that the significant other likes to do, it's important to go home and just do that, man. So let me ask you, though. I have two questions. One, I believe when Lana still does her art, she's still going with her maiden name, right? Just for the...
Yeah, Lana Gomez, yeah.
Okay. Now, when you're there, I've never been to... I've been to a few photography shows, never an art show. And I've always wondered, you know, I guess you just go from painting to painting and sip wine and chat. But I often wondered what it would be like to be the significant other of someone having an art show. So what do you, when you meet people, do you tell them when you meet them that you're her husband?
I didn't in this particular case, because a lot of times I was introduced to people as the husband of the artist, and then we kind of got into the conversation from there. So if people didn't know who I was, I really didn't say anything, because, you know, I'm the type of guy, like, if they knew I was the husband, then they're gonna go, oh, this is amazing. So I wanted to see the real reaction to the art if people didn't know who I was. And, you know, all of it was great. You know, and there's half of me looking at these people going, I know you're just here for the hors d'oeuvres and the free champagne.
And this is the place to be tonight in Naples.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the place to be, people walking around, and it was like, you know, one of these things where it was almost like Costco where everybody's, you know, another tray of food came out, and then people were like, oh, what is this? You know, and it's all you're here for, pate.
Don't be a total fucking jadrool.
No, see, but you, come on, man. These people, I can't even imagine the vehicles that pulled up outside. These people got cash. This is Naples. This is an art show. This is high society. Don't insult them like that. They happen to be foodies, and they know they're not going to get goddamn deviled eggs, so they're just interested in what's coming their way. Why do you got to take any time someone comes anywhere and there's free food, whether it's your house for a party, or Lana's they're just here for the food. No, they're not. They could get food. They're there for your wife's art, man. All of them. Okay. Every one of them.
No, listen. No. I'll tell you what. There was a large group of people there that were heavy hitters from the Naples community. I'm not denying that, and they were there to see the art. But you knew who was there to get to get liquored up and to have free little hot dogs.
Well,
you knew who it was there. You knew the people. Well, I could tell.
In terms of what? I mean, as far as buying a painting, there's probably what? Out of every 20 people that comes in, there's maybe two that will maybe buy an 18 that have no intentions of buying. Just financially speaking, they couldn't even afford it, right?
Yes, but I'm telling you, there's a segment of these gallery people that go to these shows, and I know it from working at the Four Seasons. People, you would always see the same people at a free party just to get the free booze and liquor.
Well, all right, I believe you. It sounds like, you know, there's mooches in every sort of world.
Yeah, so I'm not taking away anything from Lana and
I know you're gallery. Not.
I'm just saying I know the people that were there that to get a free champagne.
Was it worth it? What are we talking? I mean, first of all, can you drink unlimited? It's not just one glass. They just keep coming by with champagne, right?
No, they had a liquor sponsor, and they were making Moscow mules and copper cups.
What are
nice
those?
Touch. What's nice.
What's a Moscow mule?
Living in the greatest country in the world. Mother Russia, motherfuckers.
Moscow mule apparently is the new drink. I think it's vodka based or gin. I have to look, but made with some lime juice. It reminds me a little bit of a gimlet.
No, all right. I'm not a gin guy, so hopefully it's vodka, but I don't drink the liquor anyway. But copper glass?
Oh, copper glass is I gotta get a few for the house. That's how nice the. Sorry, I'm up on the thing. It's vodka, lime juice, ginger beer with a lime wedge.
Oh, that sounds pretty refreshing.
Oh, very refreshing. I gotta tell you, very refreshing. And you put this thing in a copper glass or a copper mug. Huh, forget about it.
And I can imagine there's obviously water. Is there any wine?
There was, yeah, red and white wine.
All right, and what does this thing last? 2 hours.
This was from 6 to 10. It was a 4-hour ordeal.
Wow. And then what kind of food?
Past hors d'oeuvres, anything from, you know, little pizza, you know, kind of pizza squares to, you know, maybe tuna tartare. It was a nice little spread.
You say hors d'oeuvre, I say tapas. Right.
It was heavy hors d'oeuvres, I would say. But not could, that heavy, but you know.
But the
nice.
The idea of tapas, though, isn't it a bunch of hors d'oeuvres that make a meal?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that you would really get full off of what was coming out. This was just little bites to have with your drink. This wasn't like little burgers or, you know, this was. Although I think there was little mini burgers there.
I can have 10 of them, though.
Yeah, you could have 10 if you want.
So then
you
I could get full. Yeah.
You want to be a slob? F 10.
And is it free to get in? Or do you have to be invited?
You have to be invited, yeah.
No.
But yeah, no cover.
And when you buy a painting, do they take you to a nicer side room and like give you a better drink, even maybe a taller copper glass? I mean, they don't just say, you know, swipe your credit card over a card table like we do when we sell a T-shirt, right?
There was none. None of the paintings were bought at the actual showing. They were bought afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like they saw it, and then they called later and said, we'd like this, we'd like that. And then the transaction was probably conducted over the phone.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, congrats for Lana, man. I'm glad it went well.
Yeah, it was well, and Lana kind of got upset at me that she says I always tend to get sick around her special moments. And I'm telling her I can't control when I get sick.
Yeah, no, you should tell her. You tend to get sick during the daytime. Your sickness has no racial profiling of any capacity, man.
None at all. I'll fall sick in morning, afternoon, or evening.
In front of anybody, whether it's with a man in a car on ice in Finland.
Yep.
Or at a goddamn showing of art. Or sometimes just curled up in a ball crying, watching Undercover Boss all by yourself on your couch. Lana sent me a text about that, bro. That's a little, I mean, she says sometimes you actually get teary-eyed at the end of Undercover Boss.
Yes, I do. I actually shed a tear at the end of it.
You're crying for a reality show? And what kind of dope doesn't know the new guy who's 64 years old and is getting filmed is not the boss undercover? What are you, dumb?
No, at the end, when they
not you, dumb, but the people that fall for it.
No, when they give away the prizes at the end, like a lot of these people are on hard times, they're dealing with a family illness, and when the boss says, you know what, I'm gonna give you 15 grand for your trouble, and they start to cry, there's some moments there that I'm like, this is a nice little moment. I need to shed a tear.
I just do my job.
I want to tell you. I want to recognize you for all your hard work and dedication and everything you do for our company, and send you and your wife to a resort for a nice vacation for the two of you so you can spend some quality time together.
Sounds fantastic. That's I'm speechless.
Hey, Igor, you said it last night. This is America.
And now this is interesting me, man. So you really fell for the human aspect, the giving to people that have less.
Yes.
Because I was just out in L.A., man, and I pitched this guy an idea that if we get to do it, would include you if you're interested. But it's basically, in a nutshell, about going to places that can't have comedy because they're just too off the beaten map or not enough people, no place to have a show. But these people really can't get anywhere else to see a show. Some of them have never even seen a live show of any kind. So we go to those kind of towns, hang out with the people for a few days, then put on a custom-made show with regard to their town. And they write in and they send videos as to why their town could really use a show.
Wow, tailor-made comedy to small-town America.
There
like
you go.
It.
That's what we're talking, man.
That's it. That's the next step after the boat. can we get into the boat a little bit here?
Yeah, I gotta edit that last thing. People can't hear that great idea. Yeah, okay. Man, the boat, the damn boat.
Okay, so are we going on the same boat?
Yeah, here's the deal, man. So my June was pretty open, all right? Now, 1 week I wanted open calendar-wise because it's Sadie's birthday, first birthday. And then the other three, I'm like, I got to fill these up, you know? I got to get out on the road and do some, you know, make some bread. But on the flip side, I'm like, it's going to finally be warm. I really just want to take a little time and chill. So, but I also was looking for something these next 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, they call up and say, listen, they'd love to have you back on the boat. They're already asking when you'll come back. They'll give you more money, and they will, and if Jackie wants to come, they'd love to, I go, no, no one's coming with me. But they'll give you more money, a decent amount more, and they were already giving me more than I make at the clubs. So yeah. I was like, well, you know, plus they said, I go, I don't want to go on any of the boat or anything because I know the people that run this and they're easy to, no, same boat, same room. Same everything. So no sooner do I say, all right, put me back on the goddamn boat. The very next day, I get a call to play, and I can't because now I'm on the boat. Hilarities in Cleveland, where I've been dying to play.
Oh, love the club.
I know you do. I know how tight you are with the owner, and I'm dying to play there. It's in a beautiful part of Cleveland. Yes, there is a beautiful part of Cleveland, people. And, yeah, so now I got to wait until another date for that, and I'm pissed. And here's the kicker. You ready for this? I get on the boat on Saturday, and Sunday, all alone on the boat, it's Easter, my daughter's first Easter, and the same day, it's my birthday. Oh, yeah.
Wait. You're going on the boat this Sunday.
That's how quick it came up.
Wow. Easter Sunday and your birthday alone on the boat.
Well, I'll have the love and companionship of 3,500 fucking...
So it's the same route, same thing. You got your rocks all set up, right?
Yeah, I got my rocks. Well, I got my connexiones. The rocks have nothing under them at this point.
Okay, so it's a two-week stint now.
Two-week stint. By the end of the show, I also need to do a Google that shit on how to make a noose. Because I'm thinking if I kill myself on the boat, Jackie may be able to sue for a little more than just the life insurance coming her way.
Oh, shit. So we got it right here, right on the Pete and Sebastian show. Pete, back up on the boat 2 weeks. You know damn well we're going to be coming to you twice a week now because we got a set schedule. If anything, this boat is good for the cast because it allows us to actually set a time and do this stuff. So, yeah. You're not a boat act. Don't worry about being labeled as a boat act. What you're doing right now, my friend, is you're feeding your family and you're doing all that you have to do so. These opportunities come up. You can't pass them up. That's it.
Nah, I appreciate you saying that. That's a good friend right there. And it is true, and it is doing what I got to do. And I suppose when I'm sitting on one of my two porches, chilling out, relaxing on June, I'll be grateful I did this stupid boat now.
Yeah, you got the whole month of June to sit there and enjoy the summer with your family. Right now, you suck it up for 2 weeks, and you deal with 3,100 people who don't know how to dress. So, that's all.
I know. It's just frustrating. You know, man, you keep plugging because you love this, and there's nothing else you can imagine doing. But, you know, there I am on a boat, and I got a ton of friends I started out with at the exact same time are going to be somewhere else listening to someone say, and action! when is the award show for in New York? Isn't that coming up? I think that'll be when I'm on the boat.
Yeah, that is actually. That's next Saturday, not this Saturday. This Saturday, I'm up at Uncle Vinny's up in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, and then I head to Bananas for a Friday night show, and then Saturday I will attend the award show. And then Sunday, back to Bananas.
It's so funny, man, because at Bananas, that's where I taped and handed in my tape to Showtime. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting to hear, you know, they're watching the tape and they're going to let us know if they're going to let me do a Showtime special. And the thing at Bananas, which is so funny, is, as you know, Bananas is just a giant, basically, banquet room in a hotel. I think it's a Holiday Inn, right outside of Manhattan. But at night, they turn it into a comedy club. They have a stage, and they decorate it and do it up. And, you know, you'd be amazed at the people that perform there. I mean, look at Sebastian, anyway, right there, is a club comic of the year. He plays there a few times a year. Brewer, Jay Moore was on the flyer when I was there. And the reason I bring all that up is because the one night I laid down the hour, it went real well, and I loved the flow, and I loved the crowd. It was great. And I hand it in, right? And I get, you know, my buddy Billy does a little edit, just, you know, cleans up the opening as far as, you know, because I press record way before I got up there. So, yeah. So the only thing is, bro, as good as it was, dress nice, you know, sharp, crisp, everything. This goddamn banana hanging over my left shoulder. Yeah, I lost you for a second.
Yeah, no, I'm here. Yeah, the banana.
They
gotta lose the bananas, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And, you know, they gotta lose the bananas, man. And I hand it in, and both Derek and Judy are my managers. They go, they're both like, it's there. It's great. It's what we've been looking for. I said, listen, you know, It's like anything else I do, man. Will it be even better by the time I go to lay it down for a special? Yeah, I think it will be. It'll be more succinct and more tight. I go, but, you know, I could do this forever. I think it's where I need it to be to, you know, let them say yes or no.
Yeah.
And they go, no, we both agree. We both agree. And then Heidi, the booking agent, she's like, I laughed the whole way through. I think it's great, too. And everyone's aboard. And then Judy goes, I just want to throw this out there, you know, because, you know, someone's got to, it's my job to say it, you know, is anyone concerned with the fact that, you know, it's, you know, it's bananas. It's like not necessarily a traditional brick wall or something. So then Derek goes, well, you know, the material stands all on its own. And then I go, you know, this is something I thought about too, Judy. I wish I could show them the flyer of everyone who was coming there the month I was there. Like, just flash that before I show the set so they know. It's like, you know, everyone, like I said, from Jay Moore to Brewer to you,
yeah,
Jim Norton, all of them are playing there, you know? So she goes, no, listen, the set is there, though. She goes, I'm just splitting hairs, I think. I go, no, I thought of it, too, the fucking banana over my left-hand shoulder. And then finally, we're all going back and forth, and Derek is really, really like, they're going to watch the material and listen to material. They don't give a shit about the banana, man. So finally, I said, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck the banana. I go, Judy, I mean, this is 3.5 years in the goddamn making, and I'm going to let a banana is going to determine whether or not I get another special. I go, all right, let's hand it in. I'm not waiting for the next go around. So I'm hoping this goddamn banana doesn't cost me.
Do you think Showtime's sitting there going, you know, funny stuff, really funny guy, but Jesus, the banana, you think he could have got rid of the banana?
I know. I don't know if they may be thinking more along the lines of, hey, listen, we want to discover people and put people to the next level as much as anyone, but this guy's performing in front of a banana right now.
What if they come to you and go, listen, we love what you did on the tape. We'd love to give you a Showtime special, but we only think it's going to work if we hang bananas behind you.
Listen, I'll kiss each one of the hanging bananas before I start the goddamn set, if that's what you need. So I handed it in. I mean, maybe they'll say, let us see it again without the banana. I told them, I go, listen, they said they want to see something ASAP. So just tell them this was the next place I was playing, which it kind of was, because after that, I wasn't going to get it in San Jose. I knew that. I said, just fucking hand it in, man, and just say you want something in a hurry. So maybe they'll go, wow. Look how funny he is, even with a banana over his shoulder.
Oh, yeah. No, that's that's true talent to make people laugh with fucking fruit on the stage.
So now I'm back on the boat, bro, but at least now I know. I can't believe I'm back on the boat.
On the boat. I'm sure a lot of the listeners right now are going, you got to be kidding me, he's back.
I know, and I just got someone tweeted us out. We went down to number 162, below 200 in the podcast. And the last time we got below 200, I was flying to go get on the boat, and we didn't sniff 200 since. Now we're all settled back in, kicking ass, and I'm going back out on this fucking steel horse.
Oh, yeah. You going on the boat, we're going to be about 362 now. I was telling you before this thing started, maybe we should just do this once a month. I think we climbed the ratings more.
Well, even then, I'll probably still be on the boat.
Mayday, mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you... Okay, over. We are sinking. We are sinking.
You know what really made me lucky and feel blessed to be able to do what I do is... 2 days ago, I'm at the airport, one of the airports, right? I get a phone call from some lady going, hi, I represent so-and-so water company, and you handed in a postcard that, and you were chosen, we're going to send someone out to test your water for free, and we're going to give you a $50 gift certificate to Home Depot, and now I know our water, we've read about our water not being all that, you know, perfect out here. So, So I was like, I'm not familiar with this, miss. Maybe my wife had filled something out. I'm not sure. And I go, but if you have something, let's set something up. So she goes, all right, we can come by tomorrow, 6 o'clock, meaning yesterday, right? So She comes by. So I get off the phone. I go home to Jackie, and we're hanging out. And I go, yeah, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, they're coming by to test the water because you filled something out. And she's like, I didn't fill anything out. I go, well, they said somebody did, and I didn't. And I go, it's free, and we got a gift certificate, and you've said you wanted the water tested. So, and she's like, all right, whatever. Guy shows up. We forget about him. It was a crazy day working, doing all this shit. Next thing you know, we just finished feeding Sadie. We're just about to sit down, and the food's in the oven. Got some bread toasting. All of a sudden, this car pulls in. She's like, who's that? And right away, we both go, oh, the fucking water guy. This guy gets out, comes in. When I say this guy couldn't have been any nicer, I mean this guy couldn't have been any nicer. Says his name. Hey, I'm Bill. Hey, Bill, Pete, this is my wife. I said, listen, she didn't fill out the card, neither did I. And I didn't have a number to call you guys back at. I mean, I'm still okay with this, but I just don't even know how you found. I don't know either. I'll have to check that out back at home, at the home base. But, yeah, it's free, and we'll just test your water. And you know, if you want to do something about your water afterwards, we'll, you know, we hope you choose us. So think of us. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm not going to fucking do anything. Let's go. So we go in. He pulls out this big plastic case, and he needs some place to set it. And we find the spot to set it down. He starts pulling out test tubes, right? He turns on our water. He fills them up. Then he's telling us, he's like, now I have to put a few droplets in this. Now, the droplets that I put in will determine if there's a lot of chlorine. Now, you don't want we're both sitting there going, whoa, 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 man. In my head, I'm like, I thought I just go about what I was doing. You test the water, and you come back, tell me, and then leave.
Yeah.
No. This became a 40-minute presentation where we were just getting ruder and ruder, but, like, trying not to. Dude, I never, my head was going to explode. I so bad. At one point, he pulls out this big pump, and he's like, I need a bucket or a bowl or something. And Jackie goes, is this big enough? And you should have seen the look on her face. She's like, get the fuck out of here. So we fill the bowl up. And he puts it in, and it's going to come out the other end. And then he's going to test the water and show us how clean it works with their pump. So I go, oh, okay, so how quick does this work? And he goes, well, this needs to sit for about 10 to 15 minutes. And we're both like, oh, my God. So it's not even going to be a solid 20 minutes before you even think about getting out of here. He's like, while that's doing that, I thought maybe we could sit down and I could show you how water ends up getting polluted.
Get out of the house.
You weren't even there, and the story's giving you a headache, right?
Oh, God.
So at this point, he goes, can we sit? And I go, oh, I'd rather stand. And Jackie goes, yeah, I'm going to stand too. And she goes, she points to him. She goes, but you can sit, just like that. And he goes, well, I'm not going to sit. If you guys aren't going to sit, I'll feel weird sitting. And I'm like, guy, just leave. Don't you get the message? So we sit there going through the whole thing, and then he's telling us how when he opens up a booklet with pictures of dinosaurs and green grass and trees, and he goes, years ago, before there was a lot of humans, the water was clean. Because I'm like, oh, my God.
What?
I go, I know how it works, guy. I've polluted myself. So, I mean, and then he turns the pages, and now there's people. And then he turns the next pages, and there's cars and factories. And I go, guy, I went camping at Olympic National Park in Oregon. I drank out of a creek that has 3% of the most purest water anywhere on the earth. I know all about the water. Oh, okay. Then you know, and he turns the next page, and he just keeps going. And, you know, nice guy, finishes up. Tells us the whole system costs $3,500. And he goes, but you think your clothes are coming out clean, but they're not because your water is hard. With our system, you'll only need one tablespoon of detergent instead of a whole cup. And Jackie goes, I already only use a tablespoon. Oh, well, they'll be a lot cleaner. And it's like,
get out of the house.
I walk them out at about 6:45. I go, you're going home now, late dinner? No, I have an 8 o'clock presentation at another home. And then he goes, and then I live in Olean. And Olean is like an hour and a half from us. So at 10:30 at night, I'm eating cookies and sipping milk. I look at Jackie. I go, the water guy's just getting home.
Oh, God.
So put me on a boat, baby. Knock, knock. Who's there? Pete who? Pete Corielli, the boat act.
Oh, shit. Oh, come on. I'm surprised. Listen, man, anything that comes up like that where we got to have somebody come into the hot, it's a no-go, bro. No-go.
Yeah, but this guy was so nice, dude. I already committed to it. He was just trying to do his job. And, you know, it's similar to, like, Lana having an art showing in that it's interesting because you really don't know how it went until the phone rings afterwards. You know, in this case, that guy left. I literally hold this card and I go, thanks a lot, Bill. This is really, I mean, this is something I'm really going to consider. I may be giving you a call real soon. He's like, okay, then. I almost ripped the card up and I just turned around out of coincidence. He was still in the driveway. Oh, my God. Thank God.
Because
I didn't want him to see that, you know? So, he's walking around house to house trying to sell water infiltration. I mean, filtration system.
Yeah, forget it. Get out. Get out.
The complacency of fools will destroy them. Proverbs.
Get out of my house. Exodus.
Tough life, man. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, man.
Whatever it takes. That's the slogan for 2014. Whatever it takes.
So you ever have this, bro? Last one, then I'm going to throw it back to you, see where you're at. I want to ask about Florida with your boys. But I was at the airport early, early in the morning, and I'm putting sugar in my coffee at the Starbucks. And the woman next to me, based on how much sugar I was putting in, brown sugar, by the way, she goes, rough morning, huh? And I look at her and I go, no. And I just walked away. what is this? What gives people the right to comment on someone else's diet?
That's, I don't know. You're going up commenting on other people's flights.
Was for the team, man.
So you got offended that the woman goes, tough morning?
Yeah, what are you implying? My morning's so bad that I'm having more sugar than I normally do? This is how much sugar I have, lady. Why don't you just call me a diabetic and be on your way?
So you made no mention of that at all? You just walked off?
Yeah, I just walked off. I like to think she got the impression that it was uncool.
Yeah. Yeah, an unsolicited comment that really landed on deaf ears.
Unless maybe, like, if I was fat, she wouldn't have said it. No way.
Oh, no way.
You see those?
No way.
You see those two beach whales I sent you?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What was that? Was that Indian style on the wall?
That was so much white meat. I couldn't make out what was legs and what was torsos. It was just like, you know what it was like? You ever see when a bunch of sea lions try and warm up on one rock and there's not enough room on the rock and there's just a ton of meat, man? It was for the listeners out there. I had a layover in LaGuardia and there was three gigantic women wearing the tightest shorts ever. Two of them were laying on their back with their big old legs leaning straight up against the wall, and the third one had her legs crossed. And surrounding them were Dr. Peppers.
Yeah, I didn't know what was what. I couldn't make out what leg belonged to what body.
Now, if I was that big, I wouldn't wear those shorts. And even if I wasn't that big, I wouldn't wear those shorts. And if I was wearing those shorts, I wouldn't sit on the floor. And if I was sitting on the floor in those shorts, I wouldn't put my legs up against the wall so you could see my private area, man. I mean, what is going on, bro?
I don't know, man. It's wrong on so many levels, and right away you make a judgment on that. And, you know, how can you not? How can you not look at that and go, I wouldn't want to hang with these people?
I put an extra goddamn thing of sugar in my coffee, and I'm getting comments that these whales are holding up the wall.
Up the wall, yeah. Nah, man, it's I'm telling you, the it looks like a slumber party at the airport. It's just, whatever you feel like wearing. I mean, if you get up and you're in your underwear and you don't feel like putting on any pants, go to the airport that way. You'll blend right in.
As a matter of fact, if you wear a suit in the airport, I know when I see a man in a suit, I'm like, I literally think, ka-ching, this guy's got cash. By the way, speaking of cash, I don't want to say cash, but a bunch of listeners came out to the shows in San Jose. And I know you know this too. I want to say thank you to all you guys. It was so great to meet you all. Thanks for supporting us. And I want to say to a fucking fault. Every one of them that I ever meet that will listen to our show, all class. All class.
Our show breeds class, man. It brings the people out of the woodwork that have some dignity. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, man.
You never get a guy come up to you after the show, "Hey, I listened to the kid." We don't get that listenership. All right?
We don't. That's great.
By the way, this cask is dedicated to Ron, my masseuse out in Naples. I know I spoke about him last night, but this specifically is going out to him because I know what he's dealing with right now.
Oh, you're a little staticky. I don't know what you're rubbing, but this isn't.
I don't know. Is there? Am I?
Now you're clear. Now
is
you're
it clear?
Clear.
I don't know. I did a side move.
All right.
I did a side move. I was talking over my shoulder, and apparently I got a little ruffled up on the collar.
What do you give us the same physical moves from the stage when you do the cast?
I gotta, if you know what I need, I need to be mobile while I do the cast. If I could walk around my house with the microphone, I think the show would be 10 times better. I can't sit still when I do this stuff.
Wow, man. Well, you probably could walk around, get yourself a cordless mic.
Yeah, but I gotta be near the Skype.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right, let's stay focused. Ron's going through something, and you give.
No. I gotta give a shout out to Ron. By the way, full range of motion right now on the right shoulder due to Ron's techniques, and he came out to the show in Fort Lauderdale with his girl and her parents. Sweet people. I had my brother-in-law come out. I had my crew from Chicago that came down there, and I got to tell you, these guys, you would have thought they were in prison for 16 years, the way they were behaving.
Really?
I mean, it's just like, take it. It's like, I don't know, it's because we travel a lot, and we're just used to it, and they don't, but I don't know if you've ever had guys that do not get out much and are kind of homebodies just because they have a wife and kids, and then they go somewhere where you're at. Oh, my. It's like, guys, take it easy, man.
Yeah.
You know? It's okay. It's like, they're all married. They're all faithful guys. But, I mean, the way they look at girls, like, look at this one. I go, hey, guy. This ain't spring break 1988, man. And they all turn their heads.
It's amazing because when I say an attractive woman, I don't feel the need to share it with anyone. I mean, it's just like, hey, there's an attractive woman.
Hey, baby. How about a long-term relationship?
Yeah, no, these guys do a lot of sharing. Look. You know, it's like, what the fuck? You've never seen legs before? Take it easy, guy.
Oh, man. Look at all.
I mean, I was telling Lana this. I said, listen, you know, there's attractive women out there. But like you, it's like you see one and it's like, oh, yeah, she's a beautiful looking girl. And that's it. And move on. These guys, no, man. They're like, you know, they see it. They got to, like, follow it. Looks at it. And I don't look, you know, because I don't look. And they're like, whoa, what? We know you just got married. You know, like, I get the, like, yeah, we know you just got married. You know, that whole thing. These guys have been 20 years in. And they're like, you know, just when they see, like, skin, they just. Plus, they live in Chicago. They haven't seen skin in 6 months. So they went to Florida. And I was like, oh, my God.
I know. I mean, in a lot of ways, too, what people sometimes don't realize, being on stage every night like that, it's almost like you're in a bar every night, man. You're in a nightclub every night. So, you know, what you're probably like me. What I do more than anything, if I see an attractive woman, my eyes immediately go to the guy she's with to see if I can figure out how he got her. You know?
Well, yeah, of course, my buddies always comment on the guy. You know, she'd be with a guy, and then they'd go, how the fuck is that girl with that guy? Look at that weenie.
Yeah.
You know, like, automatically, they're ripping the guy to shreds.
Oh, man. I saw a guy on my last flight, more than a little overweight. I wouldn't say fat, but an overweight guy, but tattooed everywhere. And a pretty woman with him, and she was tatted up, and they had a little kid who was maybe 3. And he already had, like, long hair and, you know, And I'm like, I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. It could be, you know, total just biker guy. It could be something else. Then we get on the plane. He's in first class. I'm like, this guy's got to be in a rock and roll band. Who are you? Do they have that on Google? Can you take a photo of someone and it'll tell you who that person is?
I heard that they have some type of recognition software, facial recognition software somewhere. I don't know if it's open to the public or whatnot, but that's not far off. But that would be a nice little... I mean, it would be nice, and it would be a little invasion of privacy. I mean, to take the guy's photo and go, do you know who's on my flight? The guy from AC/DC, you know?
Yeah, but it makes it so much better now. You could look at them, go, I loved you, and shh, hold on a sec. Oh, here we go. We're the Millers. I thought you were fantastic. by the way, I just saw that movie. Did you see that movie, We're the Millers?
Is that with Aniston?
Yeah.
Any good?
Dude, I literally in one scene laughed so loud I woke up my daughter.
Wow.
I hadn't laughed that hard since parts of The Hangover.
Wow.
And now, granted, you know, being a parent, I fell asleep with like 30 minutes to go, but it was still good. But the parts I caught, there was just one scene, man. It was just that guy, Sudeikis, I think, Jason Sudeikis. He's a funny guy, man. Smooth too, likable dude, real funny. And there was a real good scene. He has a fake family and he's trying to smuggle drugs, and they get pulled over by a Mexican cop who wants a little sex, but from one of the guys, not from one of the women. So he's got like a 17-year-old kid with him, and they go outside and they're kneeling down in the sand, and he's mapping out a plan. And he goes, all right, this is what we're going to do. You know, and it totally sounds like they're going to, you know, knock the guy out and run away. And he goes, here's what we're going to do. Okay, you're going to walk back with the guy that way. I'm going to come around this way. And then when you and the guy get back there, you're going to blow him, and then we're going to leave. That's it. No, and it goes on and on. It was just so funny, man. But, yeah, good flick. Good flick.
All right, I'm going to have to check that out. Lana and I are always looking for a good movie.
Well, while we're on the subject of recommendations, do we have a food for today? Chef Maniscalco.
We don't.
Bro, what are you doing, man? I'm getting complaints that you don't do Sleeping with Sebastian anymore. They're like, we never get a warnings. And now we're not even getting any more goddamn avocado recipes.
I'm telling you, I'm doing a lot of work with avocado right now. So I'm trying to veer off the path here into some other things, and I just haven't run across any recipes that warrant a good explanation on the show.
All right, well, I mean, then maybe on those days we should get a sleeping.
All right, maybe so. I mean, I feel like I'm under the gun here.
By the way, what's your hang up with San Jose? Because first of all, they put you up in the sweetest hotel, man. I love that hotel, the Fairmont. And right around there is nice. Gets a little, you know, shady at night. And the club is beautiful. The guys who run it are fucking... I got to give a shout out to Hooman and Aaron. Just these guys are the best, man. And they advertise our podcast before every show. That's how much of a fan they are to Cast. Hooman has it, bam, right up there. Don't, you know, it's the only podcast they advertise. And they're like... You know, we heard Sebastian a few times saying that I'm not a fan of San Jose. What's up, man? We really want him to come back. So I promised them I'd ask you.
All right, guys, here it is. Number one, I don't think I know these guys. The last time I was in San Jose, it was that guy who was like an ex-Marine. What's that guy's name? Older guy.
Yeah, I know. He was the first time I was there, he was there. But, right, these guys are new. They are new.
Okay, new guys. The club is nice. It's a nice club, nice people. I got nothing wrong with it. It's A, the surrounding area. B, nothing to do downtown San Jose. Nothing to do. And I typically play San Francisco, which draws a lot of the San Jose crowd to San Francisco. I'm not that big of an act where I could play both and have a good turnout in both areas. So
yeah, I hear you.
That's why. I mean, it's like I play San Francisco, and I have more of a fan base in San Francisco where it makes more sense for me to go to San Francisco and have people from San Jose come to San Francisco rather than vice versa. And my numbers to be honest with you, my numbers at San Jose weren't like out of the box. I did three or four runs there, and I didn't really see any build.
Yeah.
So, you know, I gave it a rest. So, I mean, it's nothing against the guys or the club. It's just, it's simple business.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. I actually have people coming from San Fran, so that makes sense. And yeah. Yeah, so these guys are all new and stuff. And I, you know, they got one of these clubs now where they have you sign the wall, and they have a really funny sign. It says headliners only. Because, you know, you ever see a wall, and you don't even know any signature on the damn wall. But when you
speaking of wall and signing, yeah. Do you have a go-to, like, something that you always put? What is your go-to?
Well, that's why I brought it up to you, man, because now I just sign nothing, just my name.
Just the name, huh?
Just the name. I saw Brewer did just the name. Anthony Jeselnik did just the name. Because, like, you know, you ever sign the wall at one of my other favorite clubs, the Providence Catch. I know you play there, too, where they got the green room is an actual bank vault because the club is an old bank. And I tried to write once on the wall. I'm like, the club, the green room is a vault. I fucking spelled vault wrong. I had to cross it out. I played the club when I was in sixth grade. That was the first time I was in. So now I just sign.
That's a good, because I'm always under the gun when somebody wants me to sign a poster or a wall. I feel like I got to be funny.
Yeah, I know, right?
In the signature, like, I don't know. Sometimes I just lose it. I'll just put great staff, great food, great stage. What?
And the food, let's be honest. That's funny. Excuse me. Seinfeld had a good one at the comic strip. He wrote, to the only club I ever played that at one time was the only club I ever played.
Oh, wow. Very profound.
Hey, man, you just about ready for Italian Take?
Italian Take.
All right. Lou, give us the music. Keep the music the same, Lou. Let's have the same Italian. By the way, dude. We got it. We're playing this game next time we're doing the cast. And I think we should invite someone to play this game with us. I made this game up with some of the guys in the green room, in the office at San Jose with Human and the manager. I call it the John Lovitz game. And the way it came about is they were talking, they brought up John Lovitz Comedy Club in L.A. Have you ever played there?
Yeah.
Never even seen it, right? So anyway, it's actually really nice, right? Because it's in the Universal Boardwalk.
Yeah, it's a nice club.
Oh, because I know that area's kind of like nice. Anyway, they were saying how, you know, which is common knowledge, the club's not making money, and, you know, it's not looking good for Lovitz or something like. Oh, someone said they didn't get paid or something like that. So I said, whoa, like, is Lovitz's entire fortune tied up in this club? And someone goes, no, not at all. And I go, right? There's no way. A guy has probably made a ton of money. And someone else goes, if that club went belly up, Lovitz would just walk away and wouldn't even lose sleep. And I go, yeah, there's no way he's like, he's stiffing people money. So one thing led to another, and we went to this site called Celebrity Net Worth. And you just punch in the name, and it tells you what the person's worth. Yeah. And it punched in Lovitz, and Lovitz was worth like $12 million, I think. So, or $15 million. We were like, oh, God, he's fine. So then we start going, we start thinking about it. And I go, because we did the last cast, he was on my mind. I go, everyone throw in a buck, and everyone has to guess what they think Scott Baio's worth. And now when you throw in your dollar, you also have to give a fact about Scott Baio. Anything at all that might help the situation, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one thing you do. And then there was a guy named Sam who was there. And maybe we could have Lou be this guy. But then before you give out how much you think he's worth, everyone throws in a dollar. And then Sam gives us the Scott Baio facts. And then he reads off Scott Baio was married once, he's divorced, or whatever it may be. I don't know his case, you know, I don't remember. And then given all that, you throw out what you think that person's worth. And whoever comes the closest, higher or lower, gets the entire pot. Now, if no one comes within $5 million higher or lower, no one gets it, and the pot grows.
Wow.
And if it happens to be a tie, or which, no, you can't say the same amount, so there's no worry about a tie. But dude, it was so much fun because then at one point we did, of course, you know, I always got to go Billy Baldwin. You know what Billy Baldwin's worth?
I say 8 million.
500 grand. The whole room stopped. I said, holy shit, I feel like I should call him up and give him the, get his address and give him this pot. So we're going to play the John Lovitz game. We got to figure out who we should invite to play. Maybe we should have Jimmy from Boston on play with us because still some people coming up to me after shows thinking I'm him. What?
I know, man.
I said, Sebastian met him. And they go, oh, we feel like that was set up.
Set up? I met the guy in the back with his wife. He's real. Jesus.
I know, right? All right, Italian take, Lou. And here we go. Okay, so scientists just recently tagged a white, great white shark off the coast of Australia. They were somehow able to, tranquilize it, put a bugger on it so you can follow it around, track it, and put it back in the water. And this is significant because this was the largest great white shark ever known to be caught or seen in the world. 16 feet and over 1.5 tons.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they caught the biggest fucking great white ever. What's your take, Italian?
Oh, no, I was waiting for, like, the. See, some of these stories, I'm waiting for you to go, and after they tagged it, he fucking chewed out the tag, and now they can't find it.
No, that's, I hear you. That's just my warm-up, a little, hey, we found the big shark. I try to find things that people aren't bringing up. But now, all right, you got nothing on that. Fair enough. You want to go that route? Let's go that route. Did you hear about this woman in Salt Lake City, Utah, on the outskirts?
No.
Her husband got out of jail. I don't know how long he was in jail. They're kind of estranged anyway. And he just went back to the house to get his things. Goes in the garage, finds a shoebox, opens it up. Wrapped in the shoebox is a baby. Obviously not alive. Calls the cops. They find 7 babies. The woman had 7 babies over the course of 11 years and put each one in a shoebox and put it in the garage.
A slob. What a slob.
Are you? I mean, the minute she says, yes, I did that, why is another dime of taxpayer money going to anything other than terminating her?
That's it.
Done.
That's a complete termination.
What is that? Rehabilitation 70 years from now?
Wait a minute. The guy, who's the guy to her?
Well, he's not the father of all those kids. He's her husband because they never legally got divorced, but they haven't been together for years. But he was with her at the time when she would have had a couple of these babies. And the reporters asked the cops, how did he not know she was pregnant? And the cops said, that's the $1,000 question. But he wouldn't have come to us and said, hey, I found a dead baby in the garage, if he knew about it, you know?
No, maybe he knew about it. He just couldn't take it anymore. How do you look at a woman, she's pregnant, and then she's not pregnant? Isn't the next words out of your mouth, where'd that baby go?
Well, I got to tell you, I got a neighbor, right, in my block, and the woman is so overweight, and her and her husband have no kids, and they've been together forever, and I see them sometimes through the window. She's always smoking butts. It's unbelievable. Pulls in, gets out of the garage, smokes a butt, goes in the house. And they'll get home Friday and then not leave the house till Monday to go back to work. And sometimes he takes it, sometimes he doesn't. But there doesn't seem to be any physical contact ever. It's just two people living together that kind of get along and have their routine. And she's so big with the proper clothing. Who knows, man? Maybe she could pull it off. Maybe he wouldn't even know. Maybe he wouldn't notice she got a little bigger than she really already is.
Do you think if you walked in that house unannounced that you would find something in that house where you would go, wow?
Yeah.
Or do you think they're lit? Yeah?
Yeah, dude. Well put. Yes. I think if I went in that house, I would find something, not against the law, not murder or anything, but just something that would make
me. What? What are you talking about? Like maybe like a pig's head on the floor? Like what are we talking?
No, I'm thinking more like hoarding, a bit of hoarding maybe. I'm thinking maybe you go in there and you realize there's two completely different setups and they're living like in separate apartments in the same house.
Do you think there's like maybe a hammock in the living room?
No, not a hammock. Boxes everywhere. No, nothing, I guess. Nothing crazy. Nah, I can't say that.
I mean, there's some houses on my block that I've often turned to Lana and go, what the hell's going on in there? Like, just on the look alone, don't you think you should be able to just knock on your neighbor's door and go, hey, mind if we take a look around?
Oh, remember when I pitched that show to you on the cast where I said we have a show where you go just knock on a random house, offer them $1,000 cash if they let you in right now. Dude,
speaking of neighbors, I got to tell you, before the cast, I got to ring up my doorbell. Neighbor came by and said, listen, just want to apologize for all the noise. And I'm like, what noise? She's like, I've been doing some construction. I've been putting a sunroom in. And I just want to say I'm sorry that, it's been early starts. And I just want, but when it's all done, I'd like to have you and your wife over for a drink in my new sunroom. That's a nice neighbor. No.
I'm not so sure. It's not a guy that knows who you are and just,
She don't know who I am.
You don't think he does?
There's no he.
Oh, it was a she. Oh, I thought you said he came over. All right. Then that is a nice touch. That's a really classy touch.
Nice, nice woman putting in a new sunroom. I thought it was, new Lana had introduced herself to Lana, but really nice.
Speaking of your neighborhood, when you came home, was there something in your front of your house?
Why don't we get into that?
When, bro? Jeez. I'm going to be on the boat by the time you get into it.
No, I actually thought about it earlier in the show, and then you went on a rant, and it slipped my mind. But I have to tell you, to tell the listeners, finally got a wedding gift from the Corielli's. Beautiful blanket. Oh, man.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, man.
I mean, warm, comfortable, something that Lana and I would wrap each other up in a little cocoon on a Sunday with a little popcorn and possibly a Diet Pepsi and watch a movie in. Is this something that you have at your home?
Yes, man. Jackie really... I love a good blanket, too. We have nice blankets. And then she knew she was getting you that for a while. She's like, I'm getting them a really nice blanket. And she's like, I just want to find the place and stuff. And then when she was filling, I go, dude, fucking, before you know it, it's going to be a one-year anniversary, man. It's just, I know it says a year, but let's go. So she's like, no, I ordered it. It's coming. And then she goes, do you want to have anything specific to say? Because this is what I was going to say, and she told me what the car was going to say. And I go, add that, we figured Sebastian could use it to wrap himself in watching Undercover Boss, And she's like, all right. And then she comes back in the room 5 minutes later, and she's like, I sent it out. I fucking didn't put that. I'm not putting that.
Nah, it was really nice. I'm sorry to mention it earlier, but I did have it on my lists of things to mention. It's just I think this whole boat thing threw me off.
You. All right, I got one more. It's a short week in Italian take, but I have two more. But keeping on the subject of insane, crazy people, two guys in Iran, brothers, were just caught. This takes the cake, bro. They were arrested for cannibalism. They were suspected of cannibalism. And they went to the guy's house, the brother's house, and they found the kid's head on the table. And then they went to the local graveyard and found a ton of bodies dug up. And they found body parts all over the house. These guys were going to the graveyard, picking out bodies, bringing them home and eating them. And here's the kicker, because I know you like your kickers. One of the two guys just got out of jail in Iran for a two-year stint for cannibalism.
Yeah, is that curable?
Is it forgivable? What the fuck? You eat someone and you get out ever? Let alone in 2 years? God.
Is that the penalty for that? You eat a human head 2 years?
I don't know what part he ate. Maybe he just took a bite. I don't know if it matters how much you eat. It just said the one brother was in for 2 years for cannibalism, got out, and then all of a sudden there were graveyards dug up and they were suspects, obviously. And they went to the house, man.
I just don't know where that even, like, what are you sitting around the house going, God, I'm hungry. Is there a cemetery nearby?
All right, let me ask you this, man. If there was, I don't know how to put this, but let's basically say for $1 million, if there was really, really weird foodie people out there that were making small little bits of human flesh, no bigger than a dime, and eating them as a delicacy, and if someone offered you $1 million cash to try it, a little garlic butter, would you try it? Size of a dime, really thin. It almost melts on the tip of your tongue.
Human skin?
Yes.
Yeah.
For a mil, you would?
For a million, I put a little salt and pepper on it and throw it down my throat.
Yo, you'll probably put avocado on the goddamn thing.
I'm telling you, everything goes well with a nice little slice of avocado.
Chef Maniscalco, you take the dime of flesh, preferably. People, I like it. I like French. Some people like Asian flesh. I like the French. It's got a salty taste to it. All right. Anyway, lastly, and this deals with us because we fly a lot, an Allegiant Airlines flight going from Vegas to Duluth, Minnesota, had to turn back and emergency land in Vegas because the plane hit a massive swarm of bees, and they got in the engine, they got on the windshield. They said the inside of the plane just smelled like something was burning. Everyone was freaking out, thought the plane was on fire. Bees, man, that's where we're at now.
I would like to think the plane is so powerful that if it shredded through a swarm of bees, that it would be able to just power through that, no?
Considering my Datsun, Ken? Yeah. I hear you, man. I'm right there with you.
Oh, I mean, can you imagine? Listen, we got to reroute. There's bees all over the plane. What? Don't they just blow off?
You would think they would hit the side, but there was such a massive swarm, like a giant cloud's worth, and they all got in the engine churning and started clogging up the engine.
Wow,
I know, man.
I've run over a bee's nest with my lawnmower when I was a kid. I don't know if you've ever done that. Sometimes the bees would actually do a nest near a tree root, and I would sometimes didn't see it go right over it and get just attacked. But the lawnmower kept on going. Right?
Yeah, exactly, man. Well, that's it for Italian Take.
Italian Take. By the way, we're going on a honeymoon.
Oh, like more of a real one. Because
Yeah, we're going to Italy.
Oh, beautiful, man. You know where you're going yet?
Yeah, we're going to do the Amalfi, Tuscany, Venice, and we're going to hit Paris. So I'm looking forward to that. We're in the planning stages right now.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I went to all those places but Venice, man. When you go to Paris,
yeah,
you should go see Jim Morrison's grave.
Why would I do that?
Because everybody does that. I'm such a fucking dummy. I didn't even realize when I was in Paris at the time that Jim Morrison was buried there. I mean, I read it later on. I'm like, oh, I forgot, you idiot. You go there, you light a candle, man. It's supposed to be really cool.
So you go and you light a candle for a guy you never met and put it up on his grave?
Well, I'm sure you're going to go to the Louvre. Did you guys hang out with Picasso and I don't know about it?
Nah, but I don't think he was Italian. He was Spanish.
Yeah, no, but I hear you. I know you wouldn't go. I was just telling you. Wow, it's going to be an amazing trip, dude.
Yeah, so we got that in the works. Where are you this week? Oh, you are on the boat this weekend.
Yeah. You can the one I want to plug, the two big ones, is a couple of weeks from now, I will be in Tampa at Tampa Side Splitters. And then in the end of May, I will be at the Hartford Funny Bone. So, and then I'm coming all over. So go to pcorielli.com and check out where I'm going to be. And where are you going to be, my brother? You got a week off or what?
No. I'm at Uncle Vinny's Friday and Saturday night this week in Point Pleasant Beach, and then Bananas the week after that. So
what day's that? What is the exact day? I know it's not live, but the award show.
April 26th. It's a Saturday.
So what's the deal with we got to tell the listeners right now, I guess, when Sebastian comes on, he's going to be saying he can't tell us whether he won or not. So, you know, that doesn't mean he won and it doesn't mean he lost, right? Or
yeah. What do you think about an acceptance speech?
Yeah, we haven't. Are we going to talk before the next show? Before the award show? Probably not.
Yeah, no.
Friday is 7.
You're in the boat. So you're primed for what? When's the docking?
Well, I can do it Friday night, or I can do it Saturday day until 4, and Friday then it's all aboard. Holy shit!
But you get on Sunday. But when do you dock?
No, I get on Saturday. I'm saying Sunday. It just happens to be Easter and my birthday, and I'm on the boat.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. But what? Yeah, after that though, when do you dock?
Wednesday. I dock the one that we can do it. I think is Wednesday. Yeah, that's the one where I'm in St. Thomas and I get decent reception.
Yeah. Well, let's do it. Let's shoot for this Friday then.
Okay, and are you going with a piece of paper up there, or just a general who you got?
No, I don't, no notes.
No notes, but no mental notes?
No, mental notes, but no, I'm not referring to a piece of paper.
You're going to refer to the other contestants, other finalists?
That's what we got to talk about. If I win, what do I say? Who do I thank?
You're going to thank God?
That wasn't the first thing on my mind, no.
Well, not first, but you were an altar boy. That was good karma right out of the gate.
Yeah. Listen, gotta thank the family. Gotta thank the wife, right?
Of course. Gotta thank the wife last. See, the key with the wife, though, is you want to save that last, but you also don't want it to get lost in some sort of bullshit where they're hitting you with music to get off. So, you know what I'm saying?
Why do you hit that last?
Because it's like, yeah, everything else was great, but this is the one I'm thanking.
Okay, so we go. What, most important last?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get technical about it, I mean, the most important. It depends. I guess it's different for everybody. I mean, I've been with my wife since the very first joke. So,
do you throw a joke in there?
Better make it a good one.
Yeah, I mean, do you even attempt at being funny?
You got to decide that. You got to think all that through. I'm going to think about that. Next cast, that's the big topic we're going to talk about, man.
All right, next cast, I'm going to have a skeleton speech ready for you.
And a recipe.
And a recipe. and a recipe with avocado.
Yes, and I'm going to have annoying background vocals of people telling me when the boat is leaving. Great hanging, bro.
All right, man. We'll see you Friday.
All right, man. I'll see you then.
Take care.
Later.
Bye.
The show has ended.
You hear that? That's the sound of me pumping my gas. And you hear that? That's the sound of me taking a drag off my White Cloud cigarette while I'm pumping my gas. Because White Cloud isn't a real cigarette. It's an e-cigarette, but it tastes like a real goddamn cigarette. What are you doing? Get off the smokes, baby. Go to WCCIGS.com. Get yourself the electronic starter kit. The cartridges are cheap, man, like 10 bucks for 5. Easily last you a week, even if you were a heavy smoker. Get the mini flings if you just want to take a few puffs while you're at a party. Or if you want to sneak a few while you're on an airplane. Or if you want to take a hit while you're pumping gas. Don't forget to mention PS Fling, as in Pete and Sebastian Fling, when you punch in the promo code to get a discount.
White Cloud, e-cigs. Get on the cloud, baby.